As Pastor Tim mentioned, today is Palm Sunday, which normally that's the day where we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But it also marks the day when the attacks upon Jesus increases dramatically while he is in Jerusalem leading up to his death on Good Friday. So all these things are happening and going through my mind right now too. But let's read from Psalm 10 as we continue our worship here. Psalm 10 kind of bounces off a little bit of off of Psalm 44, which we kind of went through earlier a few minutes ago. So Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul. And the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. And all his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all of his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages, in hiding places. He murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in its thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws them into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord God, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you know mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, you are the Lord Almighty God over the entire universe, not just planet Earth here, and not even just over the United States or even Virginia, but entire universe. You are God and ruler of all things. And you do things that are beyond our understanding. Good things and scary things and mysterious things beyond our understanding. I pray, Father, that you would help us to know you better, even as we read and look into your word now. Grant us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so this Palm Sunday, I think about a common question that I get, that I've heard, I may not have gotten myself, but I've heard over time for the 30 plus years that I follow Jesus. And it has to do with bad things happening to good people. And it's one of those questions that a lot of people think about, both Christians and those who are not of the Christian faith. And Pastor Tim, he touched upon it a couple of weeks ago, right? Touch upon it. If you recall Lazarus, right? And his sisters Martha and Mary, they were good friends of Jesus. And then when Lazarus became really sick, his sisters called out to Jesus. They reached out to him for help. They sent someone out to him. And then Jesus waited a few more days before going to see his sick and dying friend. And by the time Jesus got to Lazarus, he was already dead 4 days, buried in a tomb. Right? Really tragic when you think about it. Especially for Martha and Mary, who had so much hope and faith in Jesus. And Jesus apparently let them down. Right? Now, how did Martha and Mary process such pain and disappointment? And then you have the more recent tragedy that Pastor Tim and you've heard on the news, right? Those three kids and three adults in Nashville, right? A woman claiming that she's a man, also known as, I guess you call them transgender. She went to that school, Covenant School, shot her way in into the building, and then in cold blood, murdered 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults. So how should we process something so horrible? And to broaden things out, not just beyond Nashville, but beyond into the world, and maybe even more personal in nature, how should we approach other gross injustices where the bad guys get away with murder, all sorts of crime, and then the innocent are pursued, they suffer, and they die? How do we process that? How do we approach it? And that's what we find here in Psalm 10. And actually in other psalms, like Pastor Tim mentioned Psalm 44, it's a recurring theme found scattered throughout the psalms. And a lot of these psalms were written by King David. So follow along with me. Because King David wrote these psalms, a lot of these psalms, it can be surmised that these injustices were observed and experienced by King David throughout his life. Let that sink in, especially when you think about how, as a king, David sought to establish justice in the land of Israel for the glory of God, right? And yet this stuff continued to happen under his watch, under David's watch. And there are also people that wanted David dead. Remember that? Most of you know that from your Bible reading in Sunday school. Yeah, King Saul pursuing him before David was king. Then there's also, when he became king, nations would come up against Israel. And of course, if a nation comes up against Israel, they want to kill the king. Because we know from Scripture, David went out with his troops to fight when they attacked Israel. And then when David was older, his own son, his flesh and blood, wanted to kill him. So he saw and experienced injustice in his lifetime, in his rule over Israel. And this psalm here, Psalm 10, is just, you could say, the result of some of his reflections. Now, how you approach tragedy is very important. How do you approach injustice is very important. We see here in Psalm 10 that David starts with God. He says, "Why are you, O Lord? Why are you far away?" That's his assumption. And the reason for assumption is revealed as you read throughout the psalm. Evil people chase down the poor. Evil people brag about their conquests and how they're able to get away with bad stuff, with crime. Evil people brag about the things that they're able to get. And these bad people, they curse God. They deny God. They act as if God doesn't exist. They say God doesn't even see any of this stuff. They ignore God. They hunt down the poor. And what's worse is they get away with all of this stuff. At least it looks like it in verse 6, right? I'm not going to, or verse 5 and 6. I'm not going to, nothing's going to happen to me. What about King David? He doesn't get it either. He doesn't see. God doesn't see. And they're so successful in their plans. Their evil plans. Their bad plans. And they live very prosperous lives. They're loud and they're proud. Right? It's like, and when you look at this, or when David looks at this, it's almost as if God is impotent. He's powerless. Verses 8 to 10. They continue to make plans to hurt people and to criminally gain from other people. And then in verse 11, these bad people, these evil people, they say, well, God's forgotten. He's not going to see it. God's clueless. And you know what? David sees all this stuff too. He sees it going on around him. These people don't seek God. They don't think about God. They might not even believe in God. The NIV says that there's no room in their thoughts for God. But a more literal translation would say that, you translate, in all their thoughts, they think there is no God. That's how they see it. Or God is nothing. That's how they look at it. And it appears that nothing can stop them. Like, not even King David. Right? He sees it. He's king. He has responsibility to protect the citizens of Israel. And guess what? The people that's being oppressed, the victims, and even the bad people, their shared experiences support such a conclusion, such a thought. They support David's observation of what's going on. Now you might be asking, like I'm asking, what's going on here? How can this be? How can it be? You know, how can it be? But let me caution everyone today. Experiences and our observations of these things happening can be very deceiving. Okay? People's experiences are very powerful. It's hard to argue against that, right? It's hard to argue against when someone says, yeah, I've been through it. Okay, I haven't been through it. It's hard to argue against that. But keep this in mind. Just because you and I experience something doesn't necessarily mean that we know all there is to know about what happened, that what we've gone through. We do have a certain insight into it, what we've experienced. But let me say this, you've heard the saying, no one's perfect. No one's perfect. And that applies also to your knowledge and of your experiences too. And we can miss some very important details in our experiences. And that's what we have to keep in mind, because David realizes that, especially at the end of this psalm, right? So what's David's response? He approaches it, starts with God. He says, why God? Why Lord? You seem far away. God is like hidden. And he doesn't seem like he's a powerful God. He seems weak. He's not doing anything. And it seems like the bad people's conclusion is correct. There is no God. And if there is a God, he must be somewhere else, but not here. David even had that feeling and that thought in his mind. This is a man after God's own heart. He's thinking that too. But then it's also notable that he's humble enough to record in this psalm his, what I would call his, respectfully call his lack of faith. but he reviews it here. Because what David saw in his days, we see today. Right? Like in verse 8, this woman in Nashua murdered the innocent. Verse 10, the helpless are crushed. They fall under her rifle-powered might, the bullets. And while in verse 11, it seemed like God doesn't see anything. Now, David, for all of his faith in God, in all honesty, I have to say that his questions in verse 1 are based on false assumptions, leading to false conclusions. But because of God's grace and His mercy on David, God reveals to David that, yeah, his assumptions and his conclusions are false, and God turns him around at the end of the psalm, right? And the assumption is that God is hidden. God is not near. That's his assumption. That's his observation. But his observation is not correct. It's not perfect. It's not complete. He doesn't see all the different angles of what's going on there. And just like David, you and I don't see the whole picture too. And that's one of the reasons why we have the Word of God, right? We're just talking about it in the adult Sunday school. That's why we have the Word of God. God reveals Himself in all sorts of incredible ways, which actually supplements and corrects a lot of our false assumptions, right? And God uses His Word to help us see what we would normally miss. So both David and the bad people, they had this problem in verses 1 to 11. God's not in the picture. He's not around. That's their assumption. They don't see God working. Their vision is very limited, like tunnel vision. Either God is hidden, He's useless, He doesn't exist. That's what they say. But that's where they get it wrong. God is there. God does see. They don't account for the Lord in their thoughts, in their logic. God's not in the equation, as I would say, right? And check this out. These people have a lot of faith, but it's not faith in God. It's faith in their own observations and experience. That's where their faith rests upon. Faith alone is meaningless. What your faith rests upon is what really counts, right? And your faith rests upon your experiences and your observations. Guess what? You're going to go wrong. You're going to go off the rails. But your faith rests upon God, the Lord, Father of Heavenly Father over everything. Then you won't go wrong. You won't go wrong. And even if you start off wrong, God will turn you around. Right? So in verse 12, we see this is where God turns David around in his faulty observations. Because what happens in verse 12 is David all of a sudden realizes that God is not far away. He's not hidden. He's in the mix. He's present. And he starts to have a bigger view, a more complete picture of what's going on in his kingdom. Right? But then look at verse 13. Well, actually, because David has the bigger picture in mind now, he asks a different question in verse 13. He says, well, why does all these bad people think and say that you're not going to hold them accountable? I'm paraphrasing, but that's what these bad people, that's what they think. They think they're going to get away with it. And now, because David's view and is changed and supplemented by God's special revelation. He says, well, why do people think that? Now, he's still seeing these bad people getting away with stuff. But David knows that's not the end of the matter. In verse 14, he realizes that there is more to the story. There's more going on. Right? And it may seem like bad people are getting away with stuff, but ultimately they will be held accountable. Why? Because God sees, He takes note of things, and He cares. He cares. It says elsewhere in God's Word that the blood of the saints are precious in God's sight. The blood of the saints are precious in His sight. And if you're a parent, have you ever seen your child being hurt by people? Yeah, fathers and mothers. You know how it feels in here when you see that happening. There's a, at least for me, there's a rage that burns. How much more so for God, I would say, when He sees it going on. But then He's holding back for some reason. Right? He's holding back. But God is able. He is able to protect His people. And we see in verse 16 to 18, a reaffirmation of David's faith in God. Faith in the Lord God. Right? But what about those times where it seems like, where it looks like God, the Lord, doesn't help the helpless. He doesn't save the helpless. Like in Nashville at Covenant School. Like all the people that David saw murdered in his kingdom by bad people. Now we have to remember, like David remembered many years ago, that God is still the Lord. And He is the Lord, right? And that the Lord is still just and righteous and true in the face of all injustice that we see around us. He is still in control. He is still just. He is still true. He is still righteous. And ultimately, God will bring the wicked to justice, but in His timing. Just like the murderer in Nashville. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that all of us, that woman included, will have to stand before the judgment seat of God. That's where she is right now. The judgment seat of God. Right? And like Jesus said to Martha and Mary many years ago in John chapter 11, those who believe in Him, though they die, yet will still live. So isn't it, I find it a comfort that those 3 9-year-olds and those 3 adults, the 6 individuals, God's children, they're around the throne of God right now with us, with all the other angels and saints worshiping at this very moment. With God wiping away their tears, as it says in His Word. He's comforting them. God is still God. And let me say this. He does save His people. And God has recorded in His Word things He has done in history to save His people. In the course of time, as you heard before, in the course of time, the Lord God took human form in a continuation of His plan to correct what was wrong in humanity and to protect His people. Jesus Christ is the Lord God who stepped in human history to rescue God's people from eternal judgment. That is a fate worse than what, that's not to make light of what happened in Nashville, but eternal judgment, eternal death is a lot worse than what those six individuals, those six martyrs and saints experienced. It's a lot worse than that. And Jesus came to save them, and He has saved them. They're worshiping with us right now. And you can say, Jesus is the Lord God that we read about here in this psalm. He is the King that rules forever. He hears the desire of the afflicted. He hears your desires. He hears your pain. He sees your pain. He listens to their cry. He listens to your cry. And He walked this earth many years ago. And guess what He said in Matthew 11? He said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. And then He said these beautiful words. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus sees, Jesus hears, Jesus is with the slain. He's with the grieving in Nashville. Jesus is here right now. Now, you might still ask yourself, why does God allow bad people to hurt others? Now, we may never know, since we only see part of the picture. We only see part of it. Is God powerless to act? No, He's not. But whether God acts or not, it's up to Him in His infinite wisdom and love. You and I, we see all this stuff going on around us. But I want all of you to know that even if it seems as if God is hidden or far away, He is not. He's still there. He's still here. In Psalm 34, at least I'm reminded that God is close to the brokenhearted. You know, if your heart's ever been broken, guess what? He's near to you through Jesus Christ. There's a lot that you and I miss and we don't know. And there's a lot that God does that you and I don't understand. I don't know about you moms and dads out there, but there's times... And my kids, you can ask them, there's times when I have to say to my kids, trust me. Trust me. Because I know at that age and their development, they won't understand. But I know it's good for them, even when it just goes against everything in their minds. They're thinking, how can this be? I say, trust me. I love you. I care about you. Trust me that I know best. You know, so I said, there's a lot that God does that you and I don't understand. But yet God has demonstrated decisively in history that He is not far away. He has demonstrated decisively in history that He is powerful to save through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus' death and resurrection. And His Spirit is at work throughout the world right now. Here, transforming hearts, transforming people, directing your attention, my attention, all these other people's attention toward Jesus Christ, so that things will start to turn more and more beautiful, even in the face of tragedy. It's beyond my understanding. It blows my mind how God can take something horrible and yet He turns it for good. So some of you may have seen the Passion of Christ, right? It's a very graphically gruesome movie. Yeah, it's very, kids, I don't recommend seeing it. It's very graphic. But I think Mel Gibson, the director, he wanted to show the gruesomeness of Jesus' crucifixion. The flogging before and then the crucifixion and everything. And I think he did a very good job at that. Because it was, it leaves you just leaving, you finish watching the movie, you're disturbed by what's happening. Like, oh man, this is what happened to Jesus? And it's a tragedy. A mockery of justice. And yet God used that to save you, to save me, and to save millions, or maybe I can even say billions of people around the world throughout history, even right now. So God has demonstrated decisively that He knows what He's doing and He can, but there's things that He does that you and I don't get. But let us continue trusting Him that Jesus knows best in spite of what we see and what we hear. Because the Lord is near to each one of you as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that through Him we are united to You in a most incredible relationship where we can call You Father and You call us Your children. And it's amazing how simple us are able to know You in ways that just blows our minds. And I pray that You help us to continue to trust You and walk after You and seek after You. And we still pray over and over again for all those grieving in Nashville. Particularly the pastor who lost his daughter there too. That You would comfort them. Help them not to lose sight of You. In all this stuff going on. Through all the tears, that they don't lose sight of You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.